continuing our Talking Trees segment here at Rosie on the House. Callers are lining up. Before we get to them, we had a couple things on our February to-dos.
We would be remiss if we did not say that this is prime time for pruning certain trees. It's sort of right at the end of the tail end of the season for pruning your deciduous trees. If you want to do some additional structural pruning, you had mentioned something, Rebecca, about a tree in your yard. Do you think you have a little bit more time left to?
Yeah, I have a deciduous tree. It's the canyon hackberry tree. It's Celtis reticulata, if you want to know the scientific name. But it's just a lovely tree with these pendant hanging branches that provides a seed for the birds. So, but it's got a lot of branches on it. And because it is deciduous, I can see the structure more easily. And also because the tree is dormant, the new spring growth can be directed as we want it to happen. So taking off and redirecting the growth, this is a great time. You can see where to cut, and the tree is not going to react as negatively.
Right. All of our deciduous trees, best time to prune those that lose their leaves every year is in December, January. And this isn't, you know, too late to be pruning some of those. In fact, some of the deciduous trees, interestingly, don't put on leaves until later. You might find that some of your deciduous trees have already budded. All of the pear trees are already in bloom right now. They're one of the first ones. They're kind of the big showcase tree, kind of heralding the coming of spring. You see those
they're in
evergreen
full bloom.
Pears are blooming right now. But other ones, you know, the mulberries and some of the others are late bloomers and late in putting on that new bud. So, you know, you'll have to, you know, you can still prune your deciduous trees a little bit later into the season. But this is prime time for trimming citrus. We always tell our customers between February 15th and about April 1st, if you plan to do any significant pruning on citrus, that's sort of your window of opportunity. You can prune citrus year-round if you're just doing a small amount of grooming and shaping of the outside of the trees. But if you want to do any significant reduction, this is really your best time, February 15th to about April 1st. For your lemons and your grapefruit that are kind of getting sprawling a little bit too high for you to be able to pick the fruit. Now's your time to do that little reduction to kind of keep them in shape. And also any other frost tender trees, this is your time to do that pruning on your orchid trees and others that you have to be a little more careful on a lot of those trees to prune them heavily during the year. But this is the time if you're going to do a little more significant reduction pruning on any of your trees, this is the best time. Why is it the best time? Well, it's after the average last day of frost, which is February 15th. But before April 1st, it's before the hot weather comes. You want the tree to have a chance to respond a little bit to the pruning and putting on a little bit of new growth before May and June when the hot weather comes. It will have had a chance to respond to the pruning that you're going to do now. So it kind of gives you that window of about, you know, 4 to 6 weeks after the 15th of February to do a little bit more significant pruning. And then the tree will be off and running and have enough foliage that's put on in response to your pruning to get ready for the summer heat. So this is your time. And also, of course, to cut back all of your frost damage. If you have frost damaged plants, we always tell you if you have frost in December and January, that you can trim them back safely after about the 15th of February without the risk of there being a late frost. Now, we can have frost as late as April. So, I mean, there's, you know, we can't predict that there won't be a very late frost. But generally, after the 15th of February, we're kind of home free.
If you're below about 3,000 feet elevation, your year-over-year average of not worrying about an April frost is
pretty good. We're speaking about low desert here in Phoenix, and in Tucson is a little cooler there. So we have, you know, you can adapt this advice to your own elevation and the demands you have in your own climate.
All right, we'll start first on the line in Tucson right now. Susan wants to know about a Texas sage. Good morning and welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, good morning. Hey, my husband planted, I think they're called either Texas Sage or Texas Rangers. They've got the light green trees and they bloom purple, little purple flowers. Anyway, he planted two of them in our front yard in August, and all he did was dig a hole and plunk them in, and then do some watering them. They bloomed twice, but they don't look so great. They haven't grown, and they're looking a little worse for wear. Well, I just heard you talking about the wood chips. So should he put down wood chips, or should he put in fertilizer, and does he need to dig a hole and add that in, or just lay it on top? And, you know, can we save these guys?
Yeah, hard to know why they would do so well and then all of a sudden start declining. I would really be careful of over irrigating. You know, in these winter months, that's a common problem that we see, that through the winter months there hasn't been a reduction in watering, and by spring, about this time of year, we see a lot of trees with some wilt or some yellowing leaves, and it's often just the soil has not adequately drying out between waterings. And if that soil profile stays too wet, you basically can suffocate the trees and shrubs. And just be careful that you, if that's the case and you feel like you might have a kind of a waterlogged soil or soil that's just not drying out, just shut the water off for a while. Let it just dry out for a week or two and see if you see the plants perk up. Because the root zone doesn't just need water. It also needs oxygen for cell metabolism to occur in the root material. The root zone, you have to have oxygen. So a fair amount of it. So be sure that you are letting the soil profile dry out between waterings, and your plants will be really happy. As far as the mulch is concerned, yeah, it'll be a benefit to your trees no matter what. So, yes, I would definitely put that down under your trees and shrubs. It'll be a, for all the benefits we mentioned earlier, it can't hurt. But I don't find that the symptoms you're kind of describing are going to be solved by fertilizing alone. If the tree's actually, showing some wilting or defoliation or discoloration, unless it's specific to a certain micronutrient that's deficient, it may not be solved just by putting fertilizer or mulch down. Yeah.
And don't worry too much about this plant until you don't see spring growth, because at the Cooperative Extension, I was looking at one yesterday that has done a lot of leaf drop. It's an evergreen plant, so at some point it has to lose those leaves. They don't last forever. And it's going to push out a lot of spring growth. This is a heat-loving plant, and when it warms up, look for that growth. If you don't have the growth, then you should maybe start being concerned.
Good. Good advice. So we've got another caller on, or can I go on and talk about pruning?
Let's hit pruning real quick just before, so we don't run out of time.
Okay, good. I wanted to mention that there's a difference between pruning, proper pruning, and what many describe various ways. I mean, there's an article on our website called Trimming or Pruning, What's the Difference and Why Does It Matter? And there's such a plethora of descriptive terms that are given to people. You see them in ads, in Yellow Pages ads and other places that talk about sculpting or hedging or shearing or topping or cutting or rounding, windsailing, lacing. These are all descriptive terms that don't tell you really what they're planning to do. They can be descriptive in a sense. And, lacing, you can imagine what that probably means. It's a kind way of saying they're lion-tailing their trees. These are stripping out a lot of interior foliage unnecessarily. But anyway, in an effort to try to clear up some of the confusion on tree terms, the ANSI standards have developed some guidelines for pruning to help tree care providers write accurate specifications. And it's kind of like blueprints serve as a build for a building contractor. They help the contractor and the homeowner and also the technician who ends up doing the work get on the same page. And that's what what good pruning specifications do. They help the arborist who's presenting this pruning plan to the homeowner, the tree owner, and also for the arborist who's climbing and doing the work to get on the same page. And the beauty is of the ANSI standards is that they give you a pruning objective or maybe multiple objectives such as managing risk or providing clearance, reducing size, developing structure. And then they talk the specification should also include the location in the tree where the pruning is going to take place, such as in the outer third of the crown or the north side of the tree only. And then we also talk about the type of wood. Is it going to be live branches or dead branches? The type of cuts. Are they going to be reduction cuts or branch removal cuts? There's really only two types of cuts. And then, of course, the number of cuts. This is really new to the new ANSI standard. The 2012 standard was updated in 2017, and it includes it recommends indicating the actual number of cuts within a certain diameter of a range of branch diameters. So, for instance, you might say 10 to 12 cuts in the range of 2 to 4 inches in diameter. On the north side of the tree, primarily with live branches, not dead. Then you could also have in that same spec, say, and there also be dead branches, half-inch diameter and larger. So that with those descriptive terms, the homeowner can know precisely what is going to be removed from the tree. And it helps the actual technician, the arborist who's going to be climbing the tree, to know what he's supposed to be doing. Rather than the old standards used to say, well, it's going to be crown cleaning and it's going to be a 25% of the foliage. And that didn't really help. I mean, it helped to narrow the focus a little bit, but it didn't give specific limits to what was going to be done. And also, finally, they give minimum and maximum branch diameters help to protect the tree from overpruning and also from underpruning. If you want to have very small deadwood removed in the quarter-inch diameter range, that's going to take a lot more time in your citrus trees, for instance. But if it's specified, then you'll know what you're planning to do rather than, okay, we're just going to take out the deadwood that you can see from the ground, you know, the larger deadwood. So those specifications are really critical. When you're getting contracting to have tree work done, it gives you some confidence that you're going to be there'll be no unmet expectations, and that you'll have in the end you'll be getting what you were told would be done.
Now, when it comes to all that technical stuff, those are listed on your proposal to that detail?
Yes.
How about as a homeowner? To me, there's two kinds of trees: shade canopy and art. The ones that get lit at night that look like art. Can I just say, John, I want that, and that tree to be shade canopies. I want this tree to be art. And then can you just take it from there?
Sure.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those would be objectives that you have.
Yes.
You want this to be a shade tree with the natural branches, you know, hanging down to the ground. So we wouldn't be doing any elevating, and we could actually describe that within the ANSI standard specifications. And clearly, that's the whole point, is you start with an objective, risk reduction, size reduction, developing structure, and those broader objectives then can be narrowed down to specific branches in certain parts of the tree will be removed, certain numbers of branches within a diameter range. And it makes it very easy to write the specs and very easy to carry them out. And that way, the end result is just, it's amazing. I love the new ANSI standards there.
His last proposal at my house included bolting my crotch.
He had a codominant stem with included bark.
And we have to.